Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
If he is the good shepherd and his word is true, you can expect goodness in your life. As long as you're following the shepherd and listening for his voice. But he didn't just say goodness will follow you. He also said mercy is going to follow you.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
You know, it's necessary that I eat. But it's not necessary that food tastes a certain way. Or that I have a bent towards certain tastes and you might have a bent towards other tastes. But see, God didn't just create a body that could consume something and transform it into energy so that we could live for His glory. But He decided to go way beyond that. And He created these taste buds in our mouth, and some of them detect sweetness, and some of them detect bitterness, and then some of them swell up when you lie. Yeah. I don't know how that works. But then He also created all these spices, and we could go on and on. If you think about the goodness of God, just in creation, He's gone far above what He had to. Why would He do that? Because He's God. And when He decides to do something, He's going to do it all the way. Yeah. By the way, He knew what kind of people would be using all these eyes and ears. We didn't talk about ears, but these mouths. And He knew what we'd use them for. He knew all the abuses we'd have for all the beautiful things that He made and created. Yet He still did it anyway because He's a gracious God. Amen. And that's just a little bit of the goodness of God. Often in our church, and probably in this church too, or you've been somewhere that does, the preacher will say, God is good, and the church will say, all the time. Now let me just share this with you. When you say God is good, when we say that, God's good all the time, and all the time God's good, we're not saying that we've decided that God, you're good. No, what we're declaring is He is the source, the measure, the standard of what good is. God is good. The only way we can possibly define good or bad is if there's a standard for good, and God is it. Matter of fact, the Saxon word for God originally just means the good. The good. So God is, He is good. He's the reason we can determine if anything else is good, because we have God to compare it to. He's good. And now the psalmist tells us this: surely the goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hey, guess what? No matter how much you mess up, and you have messed up, you probably will mess up some more. God's not taking back what He did in creating some of the things He created, the way He created, and His goodness He's not pulling back. Especially for those who walk with the shepherd. Especially for those who walk with the shepherd. Man, let me just tell you about a little of His goodness. It's not just in His creation, but my favorite part of His goodness is the way He relates to us. You know, I don't know about you, but we're not following a dead Jesus. We're not just studying history lessons from yesterday. He walks with us and talks with us. And I believe if we'll come to expect that goodness is going to follow us, you might blow your mind what goodness God will lay out in front of you. Yeah. You know, we talked about those sons of the prophets trying to discern the voice of God and learn how to hear His voice, and so they could be led by His Spirit. One of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yeah. And some years ago, I just began to pray that God would show me how to hear His voice. And lately, it's something I'm returning to, God, because I don't want to just go through emotions. I want to be relational. I want to be in the moment with the Lord. And sometimes that means weird stuff will happen, but God will demonstrate his goodness. You know, I'm thinking about 16 different stories I could tell you about right now. Let me tell you just two of them. Years ago, and I got reminded of this 2 weeks ago because the guy plays lead guitar at our church. One of them came to me and he said, "Got something for you." And he held my hand out and he dropped a wheel weight in my hand. And he said, "I found that on the curb this morning, Brother Ty. Thought about you." And that's because 20 years ago almost, not quite 20 years ago now, 18 years ago, had a little girl, in our church, got flipped off the back of a four-wheeler and hit her head on the pavement on the highway. They rushed her to Waterloo Hospital and got a phone call, and we ended up down there. And the right side of her face is crushed in. Her eyes come out of socket. And they're like, "Oh, it's bad, it's bad." And they pulled us in another room and said, "We're going to end up flying her up to Little Rock Children's Hospital." And her dad was, he was a self-professed. One time he told me he was atheist. Then he decided he was agnostic. But that was just kind of his background. But that night he called me in there and said, "Man, can you pray with us?" And I started, I wanted to say, "Wait a minute, you know." But I thought, "This ain't the time to do that." So, man, I prayed with him, prayed with that little girl. We prayed that God would meet everybody's needs and do all this stuff. Man, I left out of there. And let me tell you how the wheel weight part of this got involved. I'd gone to the hospital, left the hospital, went to the funeral home for just a minute because I had somebody else over there. Walking across the parking lot, I saw a wheel weight on the ground. And, man, something hit me, just said, "Pick it up. Pick up that wheel weight." And I thought, that was a stupid thought, and I walked right by it. Got back in my truck. When I sat in my truck, man, very clear, just an impression. I'm not talking about booming voice. I'm just impression. Pick up the wheel weight. So I put it through my little three-part test. Is there anything about what I think you might be telling me to do that's contrary to Scripture? Could it potentially hurt anybody? Could it potentially give God glory? I said, "Lord, I don't have a clue if this is you or not. I may just be being stupid. But there's not a verse that says, 'Thou shalt not pick up wheel weights at the funeral home.'" I went through the whole list. So, man, I got out of my truck, went back over and got the wheel weight, put it in my pocket, went back to the hospital. While I'm sitting there in the room with this family, I'm playing with it in my pocket. It breaks in half. I pulled half of it out and threw it across the room to the youth pastor, and he caught it and he said, "What's this?" And I said, "That's some lead." I said, that's some lead. So now I said, "Keep that as a reminder of balance in your life, because somebody's out of balance somewhere right now." And he thought that's pretty good. And he said, "And also, if I ever don't feel led to do something, I can reach in my pocket and I'll feel led." we were just being goofy, you know. And he said, "Why'd you pick it?" What? I said, "Man, I don't know." But later on that night, when they said, "We're putting this girl on a helicopter, we're going to fly her off," they told her daddy, he said, "You get to Little Rock as quick as you can. We're going to try to do surgery on her." He got in his vehicle and left. I got in my vehicle and left. Didn't hear from him again until about 7 o'clock the next morning. My phone rang, Brother Todd. And when I saw it was him, I thought, "Uh-oh, this is not good." He said, "Brother Todd, man, can you talk for a second?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead. Is she okay?" He said, "Oh, man, she's fine. I didn't even call about her." He said, "I want you to know, by the time we got here last night, they said her face wasn't caved in. Her eye was already back in socket. She don't need any surgery. They're releasing her in about an hour and a half to go home." I said, well, praise the Lord for that. He said, "That ain't why I called you." He said, "Man, when that doctor told me to get in my car and go to Little Rock, I had to run to the ATM real quick to get some cash. And he said, when I pulled up to the ATM, my window wouldn't roll down. My electric window," he said, "it's never not rolled down before. I couldn't get it to work." He said, "I had to back up and get out of my car like a moron and walk around and walk up to the ATM." He said, "When I got out of my car and stepped up, it was already dark. It's about 8:30 at night." And he said, I stepped out and right underneath the streetlight, there was a wheel weight sitting on the curb. And he said, "It's something told me to pick it up." He said, "You think God's trying to talk to me?" I said, "Man, are you kidding me? Yeah, I think he's trying to talk to you." It's crazy that God will use little things like a wheel weight. And I told that story at a camp almost 20 years ago, and our lead guitarist at our church was there. He still remembers that. When he finds a wheel weight, I got a stack of wheel weights he brings me. But it's just little things like that remind me of the goodness of God. Amen. Of the goodness of God. Golly, I don't know how much time I got tonight. Can I tell you one more? I was driving. It's good for me to remember this stuff, too. I was driving across a bridge on Jefferson Avenue where it crosses the interstate one day, and there was a box sitting in the middle of the road, that little box. I wrote all this stuff down so I wouldn't forget the crazy things that happened. A little box in the road, and I was running late as usual, and something just hit me, pick up that box, and I thought, that's crazy, and I drove on. But I was a mile down the road before, man, about the third time that impression hit me. Go back and get that box. I thought, oh, Lord, am I... And I thought, Lord, are you laughing at me? Or are you thinking, you know, this guy's crazy? But I turned around, went back and picked up that box and drove back to my office. And I looked at the label and I called the manufacturer. It was a water filter, expensive one. I wanted about this long water filter for some industrial that fell off a UPS truck. And I called this manufacturer up in Michigan or somewhere up north. And I said, hey, I got this box I found in the road in Texarkana, Arkansas. And it came from your manufacturing company, and I think it fell off a delivery truck. I just want to let you guys know it. Only thing the lady asked me was, why'd you pick it up? I said, because I thought the Lord told me to. She said, hold. She transferred my phone call. Second lady answered, said, this is so-and-so, how can I help you? And I said, my name is Todd Reed, and I found this box. And I started up, she said, yeah, hey, I know all that part. She said, just tell me the part about why you picked it up. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I've been praying recently that the Lord teach me how to hear his voice more clearly, and I really thought the Lord just told me to stop and get it for some reason. She said, hold just one moment. The fourth time they transferred me, I mean, by the third time, I realized something's happening here. By the fourth time, that dude said, it was a man answered the phone that time. He said, sir, can you tell me why you picked that box up out of the road? And I said, when I was 8 years old, and I just shared my testimony from when I came to Christ, walked through the whole story, and how I got to the place where I wanted to hear the voice of God, and I just felt like God told me to do it. And you know what? When I finished, he said, thank you, sir. He said, you didn't know it, but I've had you on speakerphone. Our executive board's been meeting. You just shared the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ with all my staff here. I'm like, what? But look, I'm just telling you, if you follow the shepherd, goodness will follow you. And I'm not talking about you have to make weird stuff up. He'll do it. He'll do it for you. But look for it. Listen for it. And expect the goodness of God is going to follow you. If he is the good shepherd and his word is true, you can expect goodness in your life. As long as you're following the shepherd and listening for his voice. But he didn't just say goodness will follow you. He also said mercy is going to follow you. How many of you, who knows what mercy is? Can somebody out there help me? What's a good definition of mercy? Well, how do we normally define mercy? That's where he forgives us of our sins, absolutely. You know, a lot of times when we talk about mercy, we talk about grace and mercy together. Mercy and grace, grace and mercy. Matter of fact, if you read the Apostle Paul's writings in the New Testament, he almost never mentions one without the other. Because grace is that term that we refer to the things that we get from God that we didn't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get from God what we did deserve. Okay, most of the time in the Old Testament, or a lot of times in the Old Testament, the word for mercy is translated loving kindness. Because of God's loving kindness, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Well, thank the Lord for that. As a matter of fact, let me read you some scriptures just real quick about what the Word of God says about mercy. Listen to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever. Thank you, Jesus. Because he delights in mercy. Who does? This God. This God who gave us this shepherd. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and the Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Thank God that he's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. I was sharing with our church just the other day. We've been going through Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16, where we approach the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. and find grace to help in time of need. Obtain mercy. And I was sharing with them about mercy. And when one of our kids was younger, he was actually apparently listening during the sermon, because like the next day he got in trouble. And I was just about to exercise some discipline on him. And he said, "Daddy, show me mercy." And that impressed me. Man, that moved me. As a matter of fact, man, let me share with you this story. I thought I brought it. Maybe I brought the wrong story. There's a story about, I know it's on here. A mother, here it is. A mother once approached Napoleon, seeking pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice. Justice demanded the boy's death. She said, "But I'm not asking for justice." The mother said, "I'm pleading for mercy." Napoleon said, "But your son does not deserve mercy." "Sir," the woman cried, "it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy's all I'm asking for." He said, "Well then, I guess I'm going to have mercy." Hey, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more the Heavenly Father? He's merciful. By the way, my little boy, he didn't get a spanking that day, because I thought I got a chance to show him what Daddy God looks like. And then the next day, he tried it again. I showed him what Daddy Todd looks like. It line only works so long. Yeah, you got to repent at some point, okay? But thank God for mercy, and that mercy endures forever. Man, we could go all night, but let me just share this with you this way. Those two things that if one will follow this shepherd, they'll have. Here's what's going to follow you: goodness and mercy. But how long will they follow you? All the days of your life. If you're his and he's in you and you're in him, as you know the shepherd, as you walk with the shepherd, as you learn to hear the shepherd's voice, as you're a tool in the shepherd's hands, man, your goodness is going to follow you. It can't help but follow you, because he's good. He's good. And if you're following him and he's following you, you can't get away from goodness. Thank you, Lord, for goodness. See, sometimes we expect the worst in this world. And I'm not trying to say difficult things won't happen if you follow the shepherd. If you know the Lord, if you're following Christ, difficult things sometimes still do happen. But you find goodness in the middle of all of it. And he uses all of it for good. Isn't that what he said? He'll use it all for good. Why? Because for the believer, for the Christ follower, for that one who knows this shepherd, you can't get away from goodness. And thank God you can't get away from mercy. For how long? For the rest of your life. You know why? Because all our life we're going to be wanting some goodness, and God's going to be able to demonstrate his glory in your life to people that are watching you by pulling his goodness up all around you. But not only that, it's probably a pretty good chance that all of my life, I'm going to need mercy too. The reason why he would say, for all of your life, for all your days, goodness and mercy shall follow me the rest of my life, the rest of my days, is because for the rest of my life, I'm going to need mercy. What does that mean? That means I'm going to be in a position where if God isn't merciful, I'm in trouble. But let me share with you why we can stand where we stand today and absolutely know beyond the shadow of a doubt that even mercy can follow you till the day you die. And that's because of the passage I mentioned just a moment ago and so many others, but that one is sufficient. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, it says, "Come boldly unto a throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy." God made mercy obtainable for us. How did he do it? He sent this same shepherd. He's also a priest. And he's not just any priest. He's the only high priest forever. The one whose sacrifices were once and for all. And he put an end to the need of those lambs being slaughtered, because he was also, now he's not just the shepherd, he's the sheep. He's not just the shepherd. See, he's the lamb. And because the lamb was slain from before the foundations of the world, because this great high priest made atonement, he went to God on our behalf. He received the punishment for our sins. He atoned with the Father for our sins. And now he's forever seated at the right hand of the Father. That's our high priest. Because of that, mercy is now obtainable. It's obtainable. Some of you have stories. Some of you, well, let me back up. All of you got it. Everybody's got a story, right? Something we share at our church all the time is if everybody in here knew everything about everybody in here, would nobody be in here? Because nobody wants to be anywhere where everybody knows all your stuff. And that's just the reality. You only laugh verifying your guilt. You know, it's just the truth, okay? But there is one who knows everything about you, and he still hadn't killed you yet. He's still letting us breathe his air. And by the grace of God, see, there's one of those graces that we talk about is this common grace that all of us, whether we ever give God a time of day or not, we get to breathe his air. But one of these days, that option's going to come to an end. And I'm going to stand before him. And I'm thanking the Lord right now that I have obtained mercy. Amen. I've obtained mercy. And I didn't just obtain a little bit of mercy. I obtained the person of mercy, the one who immerses in mercy, the one who's going to follow me till the last moment of my life. And he's going to always have my back and have me covered. Now, because he's taken residence in me, I don't want to live any other way than a way that pleases him. But that don't mean that I don't mess up every now and then. That don't mean I don't stumble. That mean I don't fall. Doesn't mean I become sinless. I just become closer to the sinless one. Man, I'll never forget approaching a man one time, and I said, "Hey, you're the most godly man in our church. I need to ask your opinion about something." And man, he stopped me and said, "Don't say that." He said, "Don't say I'm the most godly man." He said, "I'm more sinful now, Brother Todd, than I've ever been in my life." And I thought, man, what's this guy into, you know? And he said, I don't mean it like I'm not walking around with my tail between my legs. He said, what I mean is the closer I get to him, the more I walk in light, the more I see that's been a part of me all this time that he knew was sin and I didn't. And he's been patient and gracious. He's been so merciful to me. And the closer I get to him, the more I realize how much mercy and grace he's bestowed upon me. And he said, "I don't feel defeated because of my realization of how sinful I've really been all my life. It just has empowered and encouraged me to know the depth of his riches and grace and mercy." Thank you, Lord, for that kind of mercy. That kind of mercy will follow you all the days of your life where you don't have to be afraid to approach the throne of grace. So let me finish by sharing this with you. My mother slipped me a little note a couple of weeks ago. She said, "Son, I wish I'd have gave you this before you preached that message today because it'd fit real good." But it's fit real good a bunch of places since. It was a story about a guy named Andrew Murray. He had a dog somebody gave him one time, and the dog was half Labrador and the other half, what's that kind of big dog with the purple tongue? Chow. And he said it was an ugly, big, and it just barked ferociously. Everybody was scared to death of the dog. And it would act like it was going to eat you alive, man. Jump up on the fence. Blah, blah, and nobody wanted to get close to it. But if anybody ever did get close to it, he said the strange thing about it is if somebody would come over and open the gate, the dog would run to the other side of the pen. Because he's scared to death. And then if you sat down and tried to call him to you, he desperately longed for somebody to pet him, but he'd come to you. But when he got about 10 feet from you, he'd lay down on his side and scoot on his side up to you. And he would just, in fear, get close enough to you, hoping you'd just pet him. Because the guy that owned him before Andrew Murray owned him beat him with a lead chain. He was abused for a long time. Andrew Murray said, you know, day after day, he'd try to break that dog down. He'd try to get that dog more comfortable. But every time a dog would get close, he'd get down and he'd scooch over on the ground to him, and he'd ease up to him. And he said, finally, one day, I just got sick of him. Now let him have it. And I was reading this little story. And I thought, let him have it. You can't do that. And he said, I said to that dog, for one time, just once, I wish you'd act like a normal dog and just come right up to me wagging your tail with your tongue hanging out. For one time, I wish you'd come to me like you know that I love you instead of looking like all everybody watching you thinks I beat you constantly. Just for one time, I'd like you to run up to me like you know I'm going to take good care of you. I've never hurt you once. And he said, while he was telling his dog, that man, the Spirit of the Lord, just grabbed hold of him and said, that's exactly how I feel about you. Every time you come into my presence, you drag all that trash in from yesteryear, and you talk about, I'm sorry, I'm unworthy, I'm just an old piece. He said, for one time, I'd like you to just climb up in my lap like you believe I'm a daddy that wants to hold you and love you and give you goodness and mercy and grace. Because, by the way, not just anybody can do that. Not just anybody can climb up in Daddy God's lap. If you've not received him as the one who takes away the weight of your sin, I wouldn't be wanting to climb up in his lap. Yeah. If you're one who spit in his face with your life, I wouldn't be wanting to hang out real close. But once you come to know the shepherd, once you come to know the Lord, once you come to know this Jesus, this personal, life-changing walk with you, Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You put yourself now in a position, he don't see any of that past. He sees the blood of his son. And he invites us to come boldly and climb up into his lap and expect his goodness and expect his mercy. And not just to expect it, but to get enough of it to share. Because here's what God's in the business of doing. I don't know about you, I love to be around somebody that's fired up. Amen. I like to get around somebody that got a little too close to the fire. I like to get around somebody who's full, man. I like to get around somebody who's got a life to share, and they're just, and I don't mean they have to be always smiling and happy and bubbly and stuff, but if they just be real and walking with Jesus and enamored by his word and blown away when the real Jesus shows himself right there, and somebody who's walking with it, I love that. Look, there are people in this world who desperately need to see him. Amen. Come here, Brother Ernie. They desperately need to see him like this right here. Man, this guy's going to be walking around. Spirit of God's going to get it all inside him. And he's going to do something. And that one of you guys, even if you don't like him right now, and I ain't know y'all if you like him or you don't like him, that don't matter. Look here. He said, don't stir stuff up. You're going to look, and you're going to begin to see as you look for it, and as you begin to experience him doing this in you, you're going to begin to see that same shepherd poking around Ernie's shoulder and said, I got this one too. I'm using this one too. I'm sure you've already seen him doing that. Hey, but look for some more of it, because I'm going to tell you, goodness and mercy is about to come through this guy right here, because he's following the shepherd, and it'll come through any of us who will.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.